Today, I apologize, my voice is a little bit weak, so we'll try our best. Tonight and tomorrow is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow night is Rosh Chodesh, Thursday. So I had something prepared on Parshas Bo, which is the parasha of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. I don't think we're going to finish it tonight. I think it's a two-part series. Hopefully, we'll finish it. The Torah says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Rishon Hu L'Chodesh Hashanah. It's the first month of the year. You'll soon see in the Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, that's not exactly true. The first month of the year is really Tishrei. The special status of Nisan, which is specified by the Torah here in Parashas Bo, has to do with a different concept in time. Now, before we get to the Ramban on the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, let's go back to another Ramban. In the Aseres HaDibros, the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah of Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. What does that mean? What does it mean to remember the Shabbos? Says the Ramban, Al Derech HaPshat, Omru B'Mechilta, Shehi Mitzvah Shenizkar Tamid B'Chol Yom HaShabbos. It's a very famous revolutionary Ramban. There's a mitzvah every single day of the week to remember the Shabbos. Shalom Nashkicheu, we shouldn't forget about the Shabbos. V'lo Yischali Flono B'Shara Yomim, we should never accept upon ourselves, like other religions, a different day. It's got to be Shabbos. Ki B'Zachreinu Oso Tamid, if we constantly remember the Shabbos, Yizkar Maisev Reishis B'Cholis, we'll remember creation all the time. V'Node B'Chol Eis, Sheyesh Labore Olam, Sheyesh Olam Labore. The Ramban, I think we discussed it in the past, is of the opinion that the essence of man, the purpose for which man was created, is to acknowledge God. And by remembering the Shabbos and God as the Creator, we are constantly singing God's praises, appreciating God as the Creator. V'zeh ikar gadol be'emunas hakel. This is one of the fundamentals in the belief in God. Now that we have Shabbos, let's fast forward to Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, as we'll soon see, is likewise something that we have to remember, but not because of God as the Creator, but because God is what? Anybody guess? All right, don't guess. The Ramban says, in the second major paragraph, V'tam, the meaning of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Sheyimnu Oso Yisrael Chodesh Rishon. We count the month of Nisan as the first month. Umi Menu, and from Nisan and on, Yimnu Kol HaChodeshim. We count all the other months. So what is the name of Nisan? It's really not Nisan. It's what? The first month. The second month is called the second month. The third is called the third. Kidei Shehei Ba Zeh Zikaron. Again to remind us. But not of creation, but of what? Hanes Adon. The great miracle. Which great miracle transpires in the first month? The Geula from Mitzrayim. Ki b'chol eis shenazkir hachadoshim, whenever we mention the name of the month, which means the number of the month, we're going to remember that we're counting from the first month and all the way back to the first month. And that's going to remind us of the redemption, of the great miracle. So we have two mitzvahs to remember. We have the mitzvah of Shabbos, to remember God as creator. We have the mitzvah of Achodesh Aselachem, Rosh Chodeshim, to remember God as the Redeemer. Al-Kain, Ein L'Chodeshim Shem Batorah. If you look throughout the Torah, Torah never gives a name to any of the months. It's always the first, the second, the third, etc. He gives you an example. In Shmos Yutes, HaChodesh HaShlishi. That's what we call Sivan. That's when the Torah was given. Or for example, in the 10th chapter of Bamidbar, there we get the mitzvah of following the Anane HaKovod, the clouds of glory, as we travel through the Midbar. And there it says, on what month did they reach that level of Anane HaKovod? On the second month. It was the second year, the second month. Or for example, later on about Midbar, when it refers to Tishrei, the month of Rosh Hashanah, Torah says, U'bachodesh HaShvi, on the seventh month. He says, Kimo she'tia haschira b'yom HaShabbos, just like we have to remember the Shabbos, b'mnoseinu mimenu, because we count all the days from the Shabbos and on, Echad b'Shabbos, Sheni b'Shabbos, is kach haschira b'yitzias Mitzrayim, so to remember constantly the Exodus from Egypt, b'mnoseinu, as we count, HaChodesh HaRishon, HaChodesh HaSheni, VaShlishi L'Gulaseinu. Perfect parallel. This is the Ramban's
brilliant one. But it's the opposite. One. Because in Shabbat, the Shabbat is the seventh day, and here Pesach is the first one.
No, but what we're saying is, this is the first day towards the Shabbos. That's what he means. By remembering that this is the first day towards the Shabbos, we're constantly preparing for the Shabbos. This part of the Ramban that I skipped, I left out, because it's a little bit off the topic. And there the Ramban says that if you have something nice, nice piece of meat, nice article of clothing, you should designate it, put it away for Shabbos. He says the following. Ein ha-minyan hazeh l'shana. When we count this month as the first month, that's not the first month of the year. Harei t'chilas shenoseinu mi tishrei. It's the seventh month that's the first month of the year. Tichsiv, v'chaga osif, tkufas hashana, meaning the festival of gathering in, that's Sukkot, is tkufas hashana, meaning towards the beginning of the new year. Uksiv, and referring to the last month of the year, that's Elul, it says b'tzeis hashana, when the year is finished. Im came therefore. Kishenikra lechodesh Nisan, Rishon, Ulitshi Shvi, Pisrono, how do we solve that problem? Paradoxical to call Nisan the first month and Tishrei the seventh. It means Rishon Lagu'ula, the first month of counting the redemption. Ushvi Eileh, and the seventh month past the redemption. Vizatam, that's the meaning of Rishon Hulachem. Einenu Rishon Bashana, it's not the first month of the year, but Lachem, that's the emphasis on the word Lachem, who Rishon Lachem, not objectively, but subjectively. Shenikra Lo, we will give it a name that will be a Zikaron, that will cause us to remember the Geula. Ukfaris Kiru Rabosenu Zeha Inyon, the Omru, Shemos HaChadoshim, why do we call the names of the month by the names that... Anybody know where that comes from? When the Jews came up from?
Babel.
From Babel. They had these names. The Olu Imanu Mi Babel. They came on Aliyah from Babel. Ki Mitchila Lo Hayolem Shemos Etzlenu. Initially there were no names for the months. And the reason for that is because we want to count the months from Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, we want to add another dimension, another Zikara, another Ness, another great miracle. Kasher Olinu Mi Bavel, when we came to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, at the time of the Second Commonwealth, V'niskayim Masha Omru HaKosuv. Oh, here's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. V'lo Yomar Od Chai Hashem Asher Helos B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. It's no longer sufficient to thank and express gratitude for having taken us out of Mitzrayim, but rather Ki'im, what should we declare? How do we express our gratitude? Chai Hashem Asher Hela Es B'nei Yisrael Meretz Tzafon. Asher Hevi Es B'nei Yisrael Meretz Tzafon. That God has gathered us in from the northern land of Babylonia. Is therefore Chazarnu L'kro HaChadoshim B'Shem HaNikroim B'Eretz Bavel. We use the same names of the month that we used in Bavel. Lahazkir, to remind us, Kisham Amadnu, we were there in Golus, in the diaspora, Umisham, and from there, Helenu Hashem Yisbrach, God brought us up to the land of Israel. Ki'elah Hashemos Nisan Ir, Vizulos and Nisan Ir, etc. Shemos Parsim, these are Persian names. V'lo Yimotzei Rak, you'll only find it in Tanakh. V'sifrei Nevi Bavel, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, Zechariah, Ezra and Nehemiah, which are the prophets who came from Bavel. Ubimegilas Esther, Lachain Omar Akosuv, Bachodesh Arishan and Chodesh Nisan, on the first month of the year, Hu Chodesh Nisan. In other words, there are two names for the first month of the year. It's the first year, and that reminds us of the redemption from Mitzrayim. It's also called the month of Nisan to remind us that we were in Bavel, and Hashem took us up from Bavel. Kimo Hipil Pur Hu Agoral, V'od Hayom Hagoyim Ba'artzos Paras U'Modai, Kachin Korin Osan, even to this day, says Ramban, these names are used by the Persians, Nisan Tishrei V'chule, V'chulam, and he says, Nazkir V'chadosh, number one, Hagu'ula, the first Gu'ula, the Exodus from Egypt, and Hashenis, and the second Gula, when God took us out of the diaspora of Bavel. And now we turn to page 2, if you're following the text inside. All this is an introduction to understand and appreciate Rosh Chodesh, the first month of the year. However, there's also a special status to Erev Rosh Chodesh. That's what we want to focus our attention on tonight. Now, this month, Erev Rosh Chodesh is on a Wednesday. However, if Erev Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, we have a special haftorah from Tanakh, which is called Machar Chodesh, to read on Erev Rosh Chodesh. From the first book of Shmuel, Vayomer lo Yonasan, Yonasan tells David, Machar Chodesh, v'nifkadeta, it means that Shaul HaMelech is going to be looking for you because they made a big kingly banquet and David had to run away from Shaul. V'shilashta teired mi'od uvasal ha'mokom asher nistart l'sham. They make an agreement, Yonasan and David, that they'll meet in a certain hideout and I will send 3 chitzim, 3 arrows, and that will be a sign to you when I send my second in command. Lech mitzas achitzim, go find these arrows. Imamo amar lanar hine achitzim imcha veheina. If I will instruct the nar to tell him to tell you that the arrows are beyond you, then you know that you can come back to Shaul HaMelech and Shalom Lecha. But im ko omar le'elem, Elem is again this young man, hine achitzim imcha v'hola, as opposed to the first case where he says, hine achitzim mimcha v'hena, Hena means closer in. Here he says Valhalla and further away from you. Is then you know that Hashem has sent you away and you have to protect yourself and flee because Shaul is gonna take revenge against you. The first pasuk in this particular unit, Vayomer lo Yonasan Machar Chodesh. And it seems a little bit strange. I mean, it's true that the day, the calendar date on which this took place was what? Was Erev Rosh Chodesh, correct? Thank you. But therefore, we have to read this Haftorah on Erev Rosh Chodesh. And beyond that, what's the significance of Erev Rosh Chodesh? We've spent a lot of time in the Ramban emphasizing the status and the special significance of Rosh Chodesh. But what's this ganze business about Erev Rosh Chodesh, to the extent to which we have a special parsha in Tanakh, which is called Machar Chodesh, a special haftorah to be read, Machar Chodesh. Why? What happens on Erev Rosh Chodesh? And the reason I want to learn this with you tonight is because I think Erev Rosh Chodesh contains within it inherent a very profound message for us. And since we're Erev Rosh Chodesh, I wanted to enhance your experience of Erev Rosh Chodesh. That's my goal. Now, next Motzei Shabbos, like this coming Motzei Shabbos, we're going to go out Thursday, Friday. You're going to have 3 days. We're going to go out and be Mekadesh Levana. And in the tefillah, we say the following. Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Olam, Alkeinu Melech Olam, Asher B'Mamaro, Barash Chakim, with His utterance, He created the heavens, Baruch Piv, and with the air that came out of His mouth, Kol Tzvam, all the constellations, Chok Uzman Nosan Lahem, each one of the celestial spheres works and operates according to a statute, a certain time period, making various rotations. V'shalo yishanu es tafkido. It means that in the natural world, there's no deviation from the law of God. In the human sphere, there's freedom of choice. And that's where man is challenged to either follow the footsteps of God or chas v'shalom the opposite. But up, if you want to know where can I look for an absolute fulfillment of the will of God, it's in the astronomical phenomenon in the skies that operate according to a strict law, precise, without any deviation. In fact, when we look at the stars, etc., etc., it's meant to trigger off in our hearts the feeling of, why should we deviate from Hashem's will? Everything in the universe really is in a sense a law of mathematics. Everything works strictly according to that law. Who is the author of that law? Almighty God. But God gives us a law as well. And that law is the moral law, which we can even either fulfill or deviate. Sasim usmechim lasos ritzon kono. It's an unbelievable statement. There's some sort of a nefesh, a spirit or a soul in these spheres. And those souls are absolutely happy to fulfill God's will. Now, again, it's up to you whether you want to take this literally or not. But to some extent, sasim usmechim, why don't we learn from them and imitate them if they're absolutely happy, if they're joyous in fulfilling God's will? That's how we should be.
They have no choice.
They don't have a choice, but we should learn from them.
There's a mathematical correlation. We learned that every star has a name. And if we consider all the permutations of the 22 letters of our alphabet, That number is approximately what scientists have determined to be the number of stars in the universe.
Wow.
Isn't that mind-boggling?
That is mind-boggling, yeah. Poel emes shepulaso emes. As a result of this fulfillment of the statute of God, this emes. Emes means no deviation. And now we get to the crux. Vilalvana omar. God declared to the moon, shetischavish. The moon first waxes and then it wanes and finally it disappears. We don't see it. But God commands the moon, shetischavish. The new moon. And why is that so significant? Ateres teferes lamuthe vate. This is a crown of glory for the Jewish nation. Why? The symbol of the moon tells us as a nation what's going to happen to us, the Jewish nation, down the line. Now, presently, we're reflecting the sun and its light, sort of imitating the nations. We don't have enough originality. What is truly Jewish behavior? What is truly Jewish philosophy, a way of thinking? We're exposed and influenced by the nations of the world. They represent the sun, or represented by the sun. But in the ceremony of Kish Levana, Hashem is telling us an amazing, optimistic foretelling of faith that God will allow the people of Israel to renew themselves like the moon. And according to Chazal, as we'll soon see, ultimately the moon will have the same light, not a reflected light, but its own original light as the sun. And then, when we reach that level, and we'll be able to express that which is truly, genuinely Jewish as a nation, Lefara Liotzra, to laud and praise God, to declare God's majesty, Al Shem Kvod Malchuso, and accept the kingship of God. Says Rashi, because this tefillah is a little bit refurbished, but its original is in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Ulevana Omar, Levana Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shetischadish B'chol Chodesh, God commanded the moon to become new every month. Ateres teferes yizu lamusei baten. Simanu lahem. This is a symbolic sign to the people of Israel. Shaf heim. The Jewish people count the months, the lunar months, and they too will be like the moon. And eventually, I see them in the future. L'schadish begalusam. They'll come out of their golus into their own, to be an independent state with its own thinking. When I talk about independent, I mean spiritually independent. Kimosa, like the moon. Ulefar liotzra, and to praise their creator. I'm always baffled by the fact that we've created a state of Israel, but yet some of the laws and the decisions of the judiciary here on anything but Jewish. We've imitated Turkish law and British law, American law. It's not original enough. In law school here in Israel, there is what's called an elective. And that elective is called Mishpat HaEvri. Are you familiar with it? It means Hebrew law. And they offer law students at the Hebrew University, for example, the option of studying Hebrew law. But it's not really an essential part of law school. And many of the behavior patterns that we've adopted over the course of centuries, even on a personal level, we still follow them. Again, if you haven't lived in a non-Jewish society, you probably won't appreciate what I have to say about this. But do you know, and I know people, who avoid the number 13? It's a spooky number. That's not from our religion. Does anybody know what this is? Knock on wood.
That's rude.
That's also a Goyish thing. I remember from my youth, Jews who had a rabbit's foot. Or if they saw a cat crossing the road, they got totally overwhelmed.
Black cat.
A black cat, you're right. This is all from the Goyim. The Gemara says the following. Omalei Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina. Rav Acha has a problem with this Nusach HaBracha that we recite at Kiddush Levoni. V'livrei chatov v'ametiv. Whenever God gives us an upgrade, the things go down a level and then they go up, then we bless with this Nusach called Hatov HaMeitiv. We've hit the bottom barrel. The moon is totally has totally disappeared. Now the moon starts waxing again. We should respond with the Brach Hatov HaMeitiv. On the way, so Ravina responds and he says, Atu ki chaser mima v'achidon dayin emes. Are you telling me because the moon is lacking, it's so to speak deficient, it's not present, it's concealed, we should recite Atova Meitu? Yeah, Ravina says, I have a better idea for you. Liver Atova Meitu. I'm sorry. Mima v'achidon dayin emes. When something hits its bottom barrel and we suffer loss, the appropriate bracha is Dayan HaEmes. God is the true judge. And then, after blessing Hashem on the lowest level, what day of the month would that be, Rav Osai?
Rosh Chodesh.
No, on the lowest level would be Erev Rosh Chodesh, because as you'll soon see, the Gemara says that for 24 hours, the moon is absolutely has absolutely disappeared. That's the 24 hours of what? Of Erev Rosh Chodesh. When we hit Rosh Chodesh, that means the moon has started appearing. Yet it's only a sliver, so we should recite Baruch Dayan HaEmes on Erev Rosh Chodesh and Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv on Rosh Chodesh. Ella, why don't we find this? The answer is Keva Dahainu Urche Loma Varchinon. When do we bless these two blessings? When something different happens, unpredictable, something that violates the natural law that we anticipate to be fulfilled. Somebody never passes on, and no matter how old they are and how sick they are, it's always a loss. Or you know, we get something new, a new house, or a new bottle of wine, even. We bless Hatova Meit. But here, since it's built into nature, in a sense, we're taking these brachas and we're...
It's expected.
It's expected, and therefore we're taking these brachas and we recite them and make them into... In Hebrew we say, Dvar Shal Mabakach. I don't know how you say it in English, you know.
Pattern.
It's a pattern, it's you. You know, we're making it too well-trodden, the opposite of special. If anybody can come up with an English word, the antonym of special and unique.
Mundane.
What word?
Mundane.
Mundane, routine. Regular, routine. Excellent. But now, we see clearly from the debate, the dialogue between Rav Acha Midifti and Ravina, that Erev Rosh Chodesh represents what we call in Hebrew Chisaron. Something that we're lacking. Something that we lost. And that's the moon. Again, it's a routine chisaron, but it's a chisaron nevertheless. Ravina doesn't disagree fundamentally that if not for the fact that we would be monthly reciting this bracha, we should be reciting the bracha Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says, HaChodesh HaZeh. Why is the word Hazeh? Hazeh usually means when you point to something. Hashem is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Her'ehu levana b'chidusha. A vision appears in front of Moshe Rabbeinu's mind of the levana being mischadish, the new moon appearing. The Amar lo, and Hashem tells Moshe, k'shareach mischadish, when you see this, yehelecha rosh chodesh. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Omer Rav Nachman, 24 hours, Sira, Sira means in Aramaic, the moon, is Michse. It's completely covered. What is about Erev Rosh Chodesh? As we asked before, what is the symbolic significance?
It can only get better.
Excellent. It's a message of faith. Even when things hit bottom barrel, we have faith that it's going to go up. And this concept is beautifully illustrated by a Gemara about Ovadia. Ovadia was a Navi who gives us one Nevuah. That's all we have from Ovadia. Chazon Ovadia, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ko Amar Hashem Li Edom. The entire subject of the Nevuah of Ovadia is about Edom.
About Edom.
I don't know how you say it in English. I think you translate it as E-D-O-M. I don't think there's another word for Edom. Maishna Ovadia le-Edom. Why connect Ovadia, single him out, for only one Nevuah, and he's chosen for the Nevuah related to Edom? Omer Ephraim Mikshah, Ephraim Mikshah is one of the Avoroyim, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Meir, and he says in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Meir, Ovadia ger adomi hoya. Ovadia himself was born an adomi. He was an Edomite. He was a ger. He converted to Judaism. Oh. Okay. Ovadia converts from Edom. Hainu diamri inchi. This is so typical of the Gemara. The Gemara classically studies an idiomatic phrase that's popular amongst the common people, and the Gemara sees depths of wisdom in that phrase. Here's an example. What do the inchi, what do the man in the street say? Mineu bei, aba nezel bei narga. So let's see what Rashi says on this phrase. Mineu bei, from it itself, you create an axe. Narga is an axe. Rashi says the following. Maishna Ovadia li Edom, lo nisnabe nevua acheres, lama nivchar lo, lazu mishar hanavim. Why was Ovadia singled out from amongst the many other Nevi'im to give this prophecy? This, by the way, is indicative. I mentioned this on Shabbos in my drasha before Musaf, that every human being has a certain shlichut. He has a certain contribution, a certain agency that he has to fulfill in this world. If so-and-so gives a prophecy, it's not coincidental. That prophecy is, in Yiddish we say tzugepas, meaning it's fit for him. There's a special relationship between the Navi and the prophecy as recorded in Tanakh that he prophesizes. Mineu bei, avo nezel bei narka. The word aleph beis aleph, which again in modern Hebrew means a father, but in the language of Aramaic, of the Gemara, is a yar. What's a yar? A forest, right? A forest of trees. And what utensil is used to cut down the trees? An axe. Correct? That's called in Hebrew a garzen. Says Rashi, where do you get this axe from? Or at least the handle of the axe. What was the handle of an axe made of? Wood, right? So the paradox is that the only reason that this axe is functional is because of the wood. The wood itself produces an axe, and the axe, when you hold on to that wood, is going to chop down and destroy the forest. Very strange. May atzmo shel yar yikodeis betoch hagarzen lios beis yad. The katzitzu boas hayar, they're going to cut down the forest. Kato vadya li edo. That's the relationship between Ovadia and Edom. Rashi throws in David and Moab, because David came from Moab. And what is this all about? Meaning, what's the deeper meaning here that God sees to it that Ovadia, who comes from the Yahar, will now prophesize about the destruction of Edom, just like the base yad, the handle of an axe, is taken from the very forest that the axe is going is designated to cut down. What's that all about? So I'm going to bring we call it in Yiddish a beispiel means an analogy from slichos. You know, the slichos were written by great liturgical poets, and there's a lot of depth of meaning. So I want to focus on one particular slicha, and not only that, four words in that slicha. He says the following: Mimaka atzma mitaken ritia. I remember telling you a story. When my wife was bitten by a scorpion, do you know when we brought her to the hospital to see if the scorpion had penetrated it? She was 8 months pregnant at the time. We lived in Malei Adumim, not the Malei Adumim of today. Today it's called Kfar Adumim. I mean, we really lived with the elements in an Ashkubit. You know, anyway. So what did the physician say to us when we got to the hospital? Where's the scorpion? Why? You might think because they analyzed the scorpion. No. They remove a serum from the spider, and that itself becomes the antidote for the disease. That's what he says over here. Mimaka atzma, from the maka itself, misaken ritia. And this means that Edom is the destructive force, anti-Semitic, they gave Klal Yisrael untold suffering. And from Edom, what do I mean by from Edom? Who's Ovadia. From Edom? Ovadia is going to come the destruction of Edom. This has a tremendous impact on the meaning of Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh represents a makah, so to speak, it's a chisaron. It's a lacking. There's no presence, no vision that we have of the moon. It's totally concealed. We're ready to be mavarech, baruch dayana emes. But yet, from that emptiness, from that chisaron, from that makah, springs forth the new moon, the ritia. And this means something very profound. The Jewish nation, in its relationship to the nations of the world, will suffer tremendously. But somehow, we don't know exactly how, that suffering becomes a springboard for our redemption. And that, I believe, is the message inherent in Erev Rosh Chodesh. Did you get page 3?
No.
But do me a favor, if the 3 didn't come out here because there's some whacking in the ink. So if you keep it up like this, we're not going to finish this all. This is for the second part. But I just want to give you a little bit of a taste of what's coming around the bend. And the Maharal is going to take off on this. You know that about 200 years ago, there was a great Jewish thinker who was tremendously influenced by those who came before him. His name is Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Did you ever hear of him? Historically, it's very interesting. He came from the Misnagdim, those who were opposed to Hasidus. But he got so taken away by the Hasidim that he dropped all his Misnagdus and he became a Hasid. But what never left him is those analytical skills that he got from the Lithuanian approach of learning. So it's a fascinating sefer to read Reb Tzadok HaKohen. He's written many, many different books. The most famous of which is called the Pre-Tzadok. This piece is not from the Pre-Tzadok. He's focused on Hallel, the recitation of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And he writes the following. V'inyan halel drosh chodesh ki kemosha kedusha shahaisa ba'avar bisman pam'achas nikba l'doros. Just like in the past, on the Rosh Chodesh of Nisan, which was the beginning of the process of Geula, that day was designated for the beginning of the sanctity of Israel, the redemption of the people of Israel. So too, even though that happened only once in history, it somehow has an impact on that period of time for all generations to come. And it's very fascinating because it means that time, you've heard this, is like, from a Jewish perspective, it's like a spiral. You know, we keep going around and around. And every time period that we get to has a certain school of property, a certain special propensity or potential. And he writes that Nitzol Lot b'schus David HaMelech, according to the Medrash, Lot was saved, and who came from Lot? David HaMelech. So that Lot was saved in the merit of David HaMelech. Ukidoma Harbe. We have many similar cases where somebody is saved because of what's going to happen in generations down the line. So too we have with regard to Zman, with regard to the Jewish time. The Medrash tells us on the Pasuk Matzos Ofa, you remember that when the Malachim came to visit Avram, she was busy, sorry, baby, was busy baking matzos. And on the Pasuk Shnei Gidiei Izim, which is written in the parasha that we read this Shabbos, when Rivka commands Yaakov Avinu to bring two goats, Echad LePesach. Okay, classically, I don't know why he quotes this particular Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, I can't tell you why. The most famous statement that I know of, best of my knowledge, about the Shnei Gidiei Izim, is that it's a symbol of not Pesach, but rather, anybody remember? Yom HaKippur. Because on Yom Kippur we take two goats. One is sent Lazazel, the other is a carbon olo lefnir. V'omr al Moshe Rabbeinu, ol v'sholom, sh'omru malachim, b'yom zeh osid lomar shira, b'yom zeh osid l'kavala Torah, b'chein harbi kayotzim v'zeh. Many times, that day is going to be a day in which we could foretell many, many different miracles that the Jewish people are going to experience on that particular day. And we have good days and we have the opposite. Like, for example, the month of Av is a month that is laden with suffering for the Jewish people. Why? Ki yesh roshem l'mafreya. There's a powerful impact on a day or on a month. Umi roshem zeh eino mitzad his golus sharei b'nigla hu koach habchira v'ein shayach roshem kodem maisa shemelo yivchar hatov rak mitzad hele. He says that it's a very paradoxical concept, because this day becomes a special day for a holiday later on, even before the holiday comes into being. And yet, there's going to be freedom of choice at any moment in history as to whether or not we will live up to the challenge and celebrate that holiday. But here's the punchline for us. V'zeh inyan kedushas Rosh Chodesh. What is unique about the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh? Shel nizkar b'Torah klal ki lo haya bo iskal shechina ba'avar. Interesting. All the other days that Chazal single out are days that in the future, are days that in the past were days on which certain unique things, special things occurred, and that foretells the future. In the case of Rosh Chodesh, we don't find that God revealed himself on Rosh Chodesh, but the entire force or impact of Rosh Chodesh is purely for the future. It's not from the present to the future, but it's purely for the future. And that's what Yishayahu HaNavi means when he says, that we should observe the Shabbos, we should observe Rosh Chodesh, that down the line there'll be a revelation of God on Rosh Chodesh. And this is all a remez, an allusion, a hint to the future of Klal Yisrael. Who remez li Yisrael, shasidim l'schadish kemosa. That just like the moon becomes new, so too the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, will become renewed kemosa. Again, it's all foretelling the future. With David HaMelech, all of Shalom, Yichud, especially David HaMelech, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Shalach Le Simona, David Melech Yisrael. Why is it that Machar Chodesh is associated with David? Remember the story of Yonasan and David? Because David Melech Yisrael represents the power and the monarchy of the Jewish king, and that's going to be the sign of Rosh Chodesh. Lachem, right? We always say in the Kiddush Levana, we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, right?
Three times.
And why is that? Because David represents the Mashiach, he's the father of Mashiach, and the Mashiach represents our hope for the ultimate redemption when HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned Keren Yisrael, you know, the power of Malchus of Yisrael, that's David HaMelech. V'lachein nizkar inyan kedushas HaChodesh. With regard to kedushas HaChodesh, the pasuk singles out David HaMelech in the story with Shaul. And from there we learn that on Rosh Chodesh there's got to be a special banquet, because on Rosh Chodesh, Nischadesh, again, this is very poetic, he says, Nischadesh is galus or zeh. The light of Mashiach becomes revealed, becomes renewed on Rosh Chodesh. We reach the bottom barrel of Erev Rosh Chodesh, and then Rosh Chodesh represents the beginning, at the end of time, of Haskolas Binyan Malchus Yisrael, the beginning of the re-establishment of the kingship of Israel Bechlal, in general. The people of Israel will now form their own independent state. U'malchus beis David b'frat. And especially the Malchus of Moshiach. B'zeu inyan haskolas, his galus, reshimas or deliosit. It's a roshem of light, an impact of light inherent in the day, but it's all for a foretelling of the future. Zeu inyan Rosh Chodesh, he concludes his presentation. Mitzad Gilui HaOsid, he gives us a little bit of a taste, a revelation of what's going to be in the future. And therefore, that's the significance of Rosh Chodesh. So before we conclude, I appreciate that you were able to persevere. My brain is not functioning well. My voice is even worse. But thank God you came. And I made an effort to come. From here I go back into bed.
Sure.
Yeah. But I just want to say in summary that paradoxically, because Erev Rosh Chodesh represents that low deficiency when the Chodesh is not to be found, and the Levana, which represents Klal Yisrael, is completely gone, is completely concealed. But the answer is that from the Makkah comes the Ratiyah. And from that low level, we begin to move forward and project ourselves towards David Melech Yisrael. Shebi Zocha, to the Bias Goel, to the Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Hera, the Amenu. Amen.
Being Erev Rosh Chodesh.